So now that the turkey has been roasted and the leftovers have been made into soups and sandwiches and salads, the family has been gathered and either has dispersed or is preparing to disperse. Now that Thanksgiving already feels like a holiday of the past, even though it was only 3 days ago, we move from gratitude to preparation. We move from cultivating worshipful, thankful moments to preparing for the birth and coming of Jesus the Christ. We find that our liturgical calendars are ready for the season of Advent, perhaps even before we ourselves are ready. Today, the first Sunday of Advent, we find ourselves preparing without being 100% sure of exactly what we're preparing for or what the timeline is exactly. On Wednesday night, we began this series with the showing of the classic The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. This movie, you might know, is based on that 1957 book that Karen alluded to by Dr. Seuss. The images of the Grinch have so permeated our culture that even if you haven't actually read the book or seen the movie, you have some sense that a Grinch is someone who's grouchy about the whole Christmas thing, and there's some transformation and redemption that happens before the Christmas event. This morning I want to show you a clip of the movie right after the Grinch has ransacked all the houses of Whoville, and he's on the top of the mountain waiting to see the reactions of the Whos. He expects crying and angst, and we expect that he's messed up this celebration, but good. Take a look at the reactions.
Sounded glad. Every home down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came somehow or other. It came just the same. And the Grinch with his Grinch feet, ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. He puzzled and puzzled to his puzzle of a soul. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.
Maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store. Maybe, perhaps, Christmas means a little bit more. A learning for the Grinch, for sure, but I wonder if it's not a learning for us as well. We've all been taught as a culture that the value of Christmas is in gifting and in decorating, in baking and in preparing. The Grinch believed that those decorations he gathered up in that sleigh were the very essence of Christmas. Perhaps we've gotten ourselves tangled up in the same puzzle. Whenever we begin to believe that Christmas is about beautiful decorations or culturally appropriate ways of treating one another, niceties and kindness, we've missed the purpose of Christmas. If I might, Christ was not born so that you and I would have the perfect Christmas card pictures, as much as I love those images, particularly the ones with snow. Christ was not born so that we would be the most neighborly in sharing our perfectly cut and decorated Christmas cookies, although they do taste good, don't they? Christ was not born so that we would contemplate gift giving, receiving and giving, for that matter. Christ was born to reconcile us to God, to bring about God's kingdom, to usher in a new way of living. Every time that you and I listen to the news and hear the racial divide in our country as encapsulated around the challenges in Ferguson, Missouri, we missed the mark. Every time we watch the gap between rich and poor get a little bit wider, the resources be on one end and not spread across, we've missed the mark. Every time we hear of a family who's struggling with how to care for an aging parent and in that divide no longer can have conversation with one another, we've missed the mark. Every time we turn on the news and watch that a child or a vulnerable person has been beaten or abused for no reason, you've all seen these stories, except that a child was doing the developmentally appropriate thing, we've missed the mark. Every time we look for clues on how to live as God's people by the world around us, we've missed the mark. Sin is about missing the mark. In Greek, the word for sin is literally a reference to archery, that is, shooting again and again and again and not finding the center of the target. I don't know about you, but I have missed the mark. I have lived in ways that God has not called me to live. And I sometimes miss the mark by living that is not what God models through Jesus Christ. I wonder if that resonates for anyone else. Many years when we begin Advent, we hear the voice of John the Baptist calling to the people, repent and believe the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn from your sinful ways and embrace the ways of God. If you'll stick with me, I wonder this year if instead of hearing John the Baptist, we don't hear a different prophet telling us to turn from our sinful ways. I heard the modern prophet, the Grinch, calling us to turn from materialism and all that distracts us from preparing to live as God's people. Preparing to live as if God's way was already fully known on the earth. In this time of preparation, I wonder if the Grinch this morning isn't a prophet who calls us back to God. And so we might find ourselves, like the prophet Isaiah, calling out to God, saying, tear open the heavens, come down and fix this mess. The prophet Isaiah might well have been like the Grinch in the early days, 6 centuries before the birth of Christ, after Persia had taken over Babylon, when the exiles were returning promise to their homeland? And returning with the promise of wondering, is it really God's way? You know what it's like when you hear good news and you're waiting for the other shoe to drop? You're not quite sure if you can believe it? I think the exiles felt like this. They had been anxiety and uncertainty. Is this really God's promised way? Or is King Cyrus luring us into comfort in order to snatch us from behind? Was this the promised time of peace? And did it include all of God's people or just those elites who were in Babylon? Is God's promise for all of God's people or just a few? Throughout 3rd Isaiah, that last chunk of Isaiah, we hear that God's way is not just for the elites who were in Babylon, not just those who could read biblical languages upon biblical languages, but for all of God's people. A communal response that God would act on behalf of God's people and all of the individuals who make up the world. Can we join our voices to that? We might find ourselves asking God to be known to us, to be known to the world around us, to fix the mess that we see in our newspapers and in our neighborhoods, that we see in our schools and in our government. We might be asking for a sign of hope, a promise for the future, in a way forward. Whenever we find ourselves crying out in pain and agony, tear open the heavens and come down, we know that it is sin, missing the mark, that separates us from God. And it is Christ, the one for whom we prepare, that reconciles us back to God. When we cry out, you and I, we are crying out for Christ. For this Christ was born. Now, I think if we had our way, we might light all of the candles this morning. Peace, hope, love, joy, and of course Christ, right there in the middle of it all. Be able to, by the end of the service, be living in God's way and see God's kingdom all around us. We forget. You and I, we need Advent. We need a time of preparations for our hearts and our minds to turn away from the ways that we've grown comfortable with that distract us from God. If we're honest, we've missed the mark once or twice. And we need weeks, if not months, to change our ways, to prepare ourselves for Christ's coming, Christ's perfect way. So when? When is this coming? It's the question of countdowns to Christmas, to which Advent is often prepared. When will the Christ child be born? When will Christ come again and the kingdom be known over all the earth? When will God come down already and fix everything we'd like God to fix? When will the upside down world turn right side up? The question is not a new one. Our gospel lesson this morning from Mark was answering the very same question. Jesus, who shows a different way, the reality of incarnation, that is God with us, God in flesh, who shows us how to live as God's people. That, my friends, is what we're looking for when we're waiting for Christmas. But I must warn us, there's danger in God's incarnation. You see, when God is living in flesh, it's easy for us to make God look like God in human ways and to assume that God's ways are our ways. Keep alert, the gospel writer tells us again and again. Keep alert to the times when we get it right. God, who cuts through the sentimentality and romanticism of Christmas, the parts we like, but reminds us that incarnation is a risky business. Darkening of the sun, dimming of the moon, stars falling from heaven, it does mean the end of the world as we know it. Perhaps the end of our comfortable ways of living outside of God's way. The death that will be no more because God's way will be our new way of living. It's time for us to speak the truth, to realize that God's way is not always the way that we've been living. We have missed the mark, individually and certainly as a culture. But God's reconciliation to us is the thing that we are waiting for in anticipation, just like eating a chocolate every day, counting down to Christmas. In the Dr. Seuss story, the Grinch comes because he thinks that the outer trappings of Christmas are indeed Christmas, and he dislikes what he sees. His heart is not changed because someone gives him a present. It's not because he suddenly understands the holiday traditions, but he understands that Christmas is more than what it was presented to be. So this morning, how have you been living? Is the Grinch coming to your house to gather up all of your Advent distractions? Or will the Grinch and others see the way that you're living as a way to prepare for God's kingdom, usher in God's fullness onto the earth? What exactly are you preparing for this Advent? This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.